This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Hello, and welcome to Sounds Choral, a program that seeks to present the vast body of choral repertoire in a way that is intelligible, relevant, entertaining, and uplifting. I'm your host, Ryan Brando, the Artistic Director of Amor Artis, Princeton Pro Musica, and the Monmouth Civic Chorus. Today is Easter Sunday, but because of the global pandemic, millions of Christians around the globe won't be able to celebrate the Easter holiday in the way to which they're accustomed, that is to say, together, as congregations in churches full of people and flowers and, of course, glorious music. We just heard Christ the Lord is Risen Today with John Rutter, the Cambridge Singers, and John Scott at the organ with the City of London Sinfonia. For centuries and centuries, this day in the church year has been marked by especially resplendent, joyous, and uplifting music. For many churches, Easter is a time, literally, to pull out all the stops, to show off the organ's tuba mirabilis, and the music might include special elements not heard in an ordinary service, brass, maybe, or descants on the hymns. For today's Sounds Choral program, I thought I'd share a wide variety of music for Holy Week and Easter, reaching back to centuries past to hear how composers years ago pulled out the stops of their own. I'm going to play a couple of things that are surely familiar to our listeners and a few things that perhaps you've never heard. In my own career as a church musician, I always found it remarkable how the splendor of Easter morning shone even brighter when heard in the context of the entire Holy Week journey, particularly the darkness and solemnity of Good Friday. We'll start there, on Good Friday, for today's show, back in the 16th century. I want to share some absolutely extraordinary music from the English composer John Taverner, who lived from 1490 to 1545. First, a few moments from his longest Mass setting, the Missa Corona Spinea, or the Mass of the Crown of Thorns. Taverner helmed a very fine choir at Cardinal College, Oxford, which had been founded by his supporter, Cardinal Wolsey. We'll listen to part of the Benedictus, and then to the second petition in the Agnus Dei. Both feature gimel, or the splitting of one part into two that then intertwine around each other. About 40 seconds into the first recording, you'll hear the two trebles floating above the staff in a vocal pas de deux. About a minute and a half into the second track, you'll hear their dance again, but this time paired with two second sopranos intertwining below them. All of this is underpinned by slower-moving, lower voices, laying out lines of plain chant in long tones. In Taverner's Polyphony, the decorous, excited rhythmic motion on the surface and the deeper, slower pulse of meter act like concentric circles rotating at different paces on different planes. And somehow, for me, the way they slide past each other summons the sublime, something celestial. Peter Phillips, the director of these recordings and the director of the Tallis Scholars, quipped, "If ever there were writing to illustrate Shakespeare's Music of the Spheres, this is it." Here's Phillips directing the Tallis Scholars on John Taverner's Missa Corona Spinea.
Thank you.
This is Sounds Choral. I'm your host, Ryan Brando, and today we are listening to music across the centuries that celebrate Good Friday and Easter. For Lutherans living in Leipzig in 1727, their Holy Week journey would have included experiencing one of Bach's most profound works, the St. Matthew Passion, for the very first time. Dozens of performances of this intense, moving work were canceled in the last several weeks, robbing listeners of the opportunity to immerse deeply in the Passion narrative with Bach. Bach ends part one of the St. Matthew Passion with the chorale fantasia on the hymn, O Mensch bewein dein Sünde groß, O mankind, mourn your great sins. The fantasia slowly unfurls the familiar chorale tune atop a broad essay for orchestra and chorus. Small tendrils of stepwise duples, da-da-da-da-da-di-da-di-da-di, a really stately and beautiful flow. Let's listen to the Bach Collegium Japan under Masaki Suzuki playing the end of part one of Bach's St. Matthew Passion.
Thank you.
We just heard Masaki Suzuki leading the Bach Collegium Japan on the end of part one of the St. Matthew Passion. Bach closes the entire Passion with a beautiful chorus on the text, "We sit down in tears and call to you in your tomb." In a series of lulling, cradling musical gestures, he sets the call. Rest gently, gently rest. Ruhe sanfte, sanfte Ruhe. Let's listen again to the Bach Collegium Japan with the end of the St. Matthew Passion.
Yeah.
We just heard the Bacchanal Game Japan and Masaki Suzuki present the final chorus of Bach's St. Matthew Passion. We'll head somewhere very different now, sonically, to 19th century England, and hear two Good Friday selections by somewhat lesser-known composers. The first, Wash Me Throughly, a setting of the second and third verses of Psalm 51 by Samuel Sebastian Wesley. Wesley's anthems very attractively combine shapely melody and finely wrought fugato with expressive 19th century harmonies. It's no wonder they're staples in the English cathedral repertoire. The second anthem, God So Loved the World, setting John 3:16, is from The Crucifixion, an oratorio and the best known of the choral works by John Stainer. It's simple, straightforward, a perfect little gem of a thing. We'll hear these sung by the choir of Clare College, the first in a recording made during the year that Christopher Robinson acted as guest conductor with James McVinney on the organ, and the second, God So Loved the World, conducted by Clare's director for 30 years, Timothy Brown.
Thank you.
We just heard the choir of Clare College, Cambridge, on Wesley's Wash Me Throughly, led by Christopher Robinson, and Stainer's God So Loved the World, led by Timothy Brown. And now, to Easter morning. The story, as told in the Gospel of Mark, begins, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." A few years ago, when I shared a Sounds Choral program of Easter music, we listened to the Dum Transiset of Thomas Tallis. But today, I'd like to share one of two settings by John Taverner. As we heard a few minutes ago in the Missa Corona Spinea, there's something so unrestrained about Taverner's polyphony. In great contrast to the smoothed-out perfection of the later Palestrina style. In this motet, the baritone lines out the plain chant, while the other voices weave around it motifs full of bold leaps and indulgent melismas, as on the word aromata. The trebles soar upward, the basses roll downward, sometimes opening a span of 3 octaves between them. As a responsory, this alternates between polyphony and plain chant, and all of this is punctuated by sumptuously scored alleluias. Here's Taverner's Dum Transiset Sabbatum with Peter Phillips and the Tallis Scholars.
Thank you.
Let's spend a little time now with two composers whose lifespans straddle the year 1600, and so their music has one foot in the Renaissance and one in the Baroque. First, the German Samuel Scheidt. His dancing strophic setting of Surrexit Christus Odie, Today Christ is Risen, appeared in a Cantione Sacre collection in 1620. We'll hear the choir of Clare College again, now under its current director, Graham Ross. Second, we'll hear a setting of Surrexit Pastor Bonus, The Good Shepherd Has Arisen, from 1597 by the Venetian composer Giovanni Gabrieli. In Gabrieli's motet, two five-part choirs, so 10 parts total, doubled by brass, volley syncopated blocks of sound back and forth. You can just imagine the Easter morning splendor blasting forth from the balconies and bouncing off the walls of San Marco in Venice. Sir John Eliot Gardner and the Monteverdi Choir capture some of that spirit in this recording. We just heard two late Renaissance motets, the Surrexit Christus Odie by Samuel Scheidt from the Choir of Clare College, Cambridge, under Graham Ross, and the Surrexit Pastor Bonus by Giovanni Gabrieli, performed by Sir John Eliot Gardner in the Monteverdi Choir. Let's take a moment now and sample a bit of Easter music from the Orthodox Church. Here's the 10th movement of Rachmaninoff's All Night Vigil, a hymn, We Have Seen the Resurrection. This is the Latvian Radio Choir under Sigvards Klava. Rachmaninoff's resurrection hymn, We Have Seen the Resurrection, with the Latvian Radio Choir under Sigvards Klava. And of course, there's no greater Easter celebration than Handel's Messiah. Messiah doesn't narrate Christ's birth, suffering, and resurrection so much as trace the outline and the impact and the significance of those events in an almost mystical way. Its penultimate movement opens with a splendid choral eruption from a text on Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and hath redeemed us to God by his blood. This chorus is followed by one of the most beautiful amens in the choral repertoire. We'll close today with these two choruses, Worthy is the Lamb and the Amen, from Handel's Messiah, performed by the 16 and Harry Christophers. that these musical selections today have helped you to celebrate Easter, even if you are in isolation in your home, and remind you of the wonderful choral community worldwide that we all hope to get back to soon. Sounds Choral is produced at the studios of WWFM, the classical network, David Ozenberg, producer. I'm your host, Ryan Brando. You can listen to any recent Sounds Choral program by going to our website, wwfm.org, and clicking on Classical and Webcasts. You can also support programming like this with a donation in membership at our website. Thanks so much for listening. Sounds Choral is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org.